Welcome to your new Hollywood. You get it? Got it? Good.
Hello, everybody. I'm Gabrielle.
And I am Kia. Happy New Year!
Happy New Year to everybody. Happy 2013. Welcome to the show. We're so glad to be here.
We are. We're very excited. It's been a minute.
It's been a minute. We're going to say that because that makes me feel better.
Yeah. I mean, maybe it's been a couple of minutes, but you know.
It's been a couple of minutes.
It's all relative. I mean.
It's been a couple of minutes since we last saw
you. A week, a month, you know.
Who's counting? Who's counting?
Exactly.
But we're 11 days into 2013, and we are so excited to present to you our first show of the year.
We're talking about child actors. My favorite topic.
This is so up your alley.
It is. I love talking about child actors.
So do I.
It's like a parent who just wants to talk about their children. You know, when you bump into them and they're like, you're like, wow, I really didn't need all that. That's how I feel when I talk about child actors.
Well, you know what? We've got a doozy for people today. Came across an article written by a gentleman by the name of Scott McDonald. He did a little write-up for The Atlantic in which he addresses the young lady that appears in the film Beasts of the Southern Wild. I'm not going to butcher her first name, but we'll call her Miss Wallace. Okay? And he is under the opinion that children should not be eligible to be nominated or win Oscars because he feels that they are not really acting.
Right.
Okay.
And this is something that, how can I put it? I just don't know how to process. I have so much to say on the topic.
Yeah, this is kind of wild, people. I mean, you know, what I just said is pretty general, so I would suggest that people go back and read the article, most definitely. But he's under the impression that she's not Oscar worthy, and I highly disagree. You disagree, Kia, and I have a feeling that our guest today, television executive and kid extraordinaire Dan Evans, might agree with us as well.
Yeah, I think you could be safe in saying that that's a fact.
Well, I'm looking forward to discussing this, but before anything, we are going to tap into a bit of TV news. So we'll see you on the other side. Downton Abbey is back.
Woo! That was awesome. Matthew is an idiot. Everybody else is still awesome.
Matthew's an idiot.
Also, I want to spin off just about Bates in prison.
Oh, come on. No, you don't.
Downton Oz.
No. Yes. No. They're too polite to behave the way the guys in Oz did.
English prison. I want to know what that's about.
People getting shanked with butter knives.
They probably have a proper knife to use for that situation.
That's what I said, a butter knife. Clearly you're not watching Downton Abbey.
Of course I am.
Unbelievable. Listen, per Deadline.com. It pulled down 7.9 million viewers, making PBS second to CBS in that time slot. Wow. Now, I guess that means that The Good Wife came on at 10, correct?
Yep.
So it beat out Downton Abbey.
Yeah, because Good Wife had been off for a bit.
Yeah, it had been out. And it's been off for a while. And for it to come back like that and still beat out Downton Abbey, that says a lot about that show.
Well, I think it says more about PBS. I mean,
well, this
the
is a
fact
lot about
that
PBS.
People are actually going out and finding second, well, quote unquote, secondary networks, you know, after Walking Dead, you know, crushed all network with their premiere, and now Downton Abbey coming up with 7.9, you know, people are like, there's no more traditional network.
That's huge.
Yeah.
That's a huge story. That's the huge story right there. I mean, it's awesome. Downton Abbey was awesome, but we keep seeing premieres like this. You start to wonder, well, who's the major network anymore?
Well, that's for sure, especially if PBS is sneaking up in your back door.
Exactly.
Who would have thought?
That's a big sneak attack.
Also, Scandal.
Scandals! That's my show.
That's my show. You can't. That
save
show comes
Huck.
On and Twitter just starts hopping.
Hashtag
hey,
save
hey, Huck. Hey, Dan, you can't give away any secrets because I'm a few episodes behind.
I'm just saying what's on the Facebook right now.
That's yeah, for sure.
But I don't watch that because I can't have spoilers in my life.
How far behind are you, Kia?
Oh, I'm behind. I am so behind on
everything. It's a good thing I didn't say the other thing that's been
yes,
on.
Thank you.
Because Kia would have lost
well,
her Kia's mind.
Well, Kia's just ruined so it for behind. Everybody because we can't talk about anything because Kia hasn't
no
seen it.
No time.
Well, you that's need to find a little bit of time.
Yeah. I know.
And that
I don't know if you can listen to like an audiobook version or something because this show was crazy.
I seriously wish I could like play something while I'm sleeping and just have it like go into my dreams.
I need to record you like my own commentary and just send you that. It's almost as good as watching it.
You've got to catch up because it's been really good. And if I'm not mistaken, did you say or was I dreaming it somewhere? Someone was like, it hasn't been nominated for anything.
It was not nominated for anything I know of.
I don't know. I don't get it. Well, now that's going on, Scandal is back, and there's also that other series on NBC that they think will be a rival to Scandal, but it's not in the same time slot. It is...
What, Deception?
Yes.
Did you watch that?
I did watch the pilot.
That just came on Monday, right?
It came on Monday, and... I don't know.
I was driving. I heard a promo, and it sounded really bad. Like the acting was really bad.
It was bad. The acting was.
And you know, if it's not even a visual, and I'm just listening to it, and I'm cringing, that's bad.
But you know, it is bad, Kia, because I was watching, and I said, some of these people are like, you know, very rooted actors, and I'm seeing some bad performances.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, I think there's a good reason this one's coming mid-season.
Oh, yeah.
I'm just going to go ahead and ignore it and just use that time to watch Nashville, the best new show. That's right, I said it. Okay. A show about country music is the best new show this fall.
You're saying it, and so is everybody else, so it must be good.
I haven't been watching. Yeah, I mean, I love those actors. I really do, and I just can't fit it all. I just can't.
You got to make time for Tammy Taylor.
I know. I have to make time. I got to make time, and I plan to do so. It's just all going to have to get in line. They have to form a queue, all you good programs. Form a queue.
And I don't know how you feel about Hayden Panettiere, but she has won me back.
Oh, I like her.
Building up a lot of bad will.
Yeah. You know, save the cheerleader. Save the cheerleader. I think she's fabulous, and I think she could play a really good B.
She is really good. Yeah. And she's playing a nice, nuanced character. And let's give props to Callie Curry for writing a tight show.
Oh, yeah. Oh, totally. Yeah.
You are into every story. And the best part is, it's the story is like, every story is just like a series of super realistic, awkward moments strung together with beautiful music. you just want to see how they get out of it.
I'm just glad to see more female showrunners getting props.
Definitely.
You know, especially since I think, what is it, Up All Night, that showrunner exited, stage left. But Suburgatory seems to be doing well. That seems to be doing well.
Yep.
A number of other shows are doing very well. New Girl. So, you know, props.
Yep.
Good for them.
Happy.
And there's been a few television announcements. We'll sort of buzz through these quickly. Comedy Central announced that they're bringing A Drunk History. They're making that web series into a television series, and I'm so glad because it's hysterical. For those of you who don't know the premise of that show, basically they get a historian. I don't know if it's a real historian, but I think the creator of the show gets friends of his who are familiar with history. He gets them drunk. And they tell a historical story, and they have professional actors act it out. So I think they did, I think Jack Black has done one.
They did one on Aaron Burr and what's-his-face, didn't they?
Yeah, they did. They did
Hamilton.
And Hamilton.
The one I seem to remember.
But it's going to be really funny. It's going to be really good. And Oprah own. I mean, not in our target, not in any, I don't even know. Somebody please tell me. Tyler Perry has hooked up with Oprah and has two scripted series on the way. One is a one-hour drama called The Haves and the Have-Nots. It follows the dynamics of, a family who has and a family who doesn't have.
And is this like some black Downton Abbey show?
Oh, no.
Is that what this is?
I don't know.
That's what it sounds like. It sounds like Blackton Abbey.
You know what? I really have no idea. I really have no idea. The other one's a comedy series called Love Thy Neighbor, and it's set in a diner called Love's Diner. And it says, where every day the menu serves up good food, great laughs, and valuable life lessons. Let's just hope it's good.
I hope Flo is in it.
Who?
Kiss My Grits.
Oh, no. Wouldn't that be hysterical?
Yes.
It would be so good to see her again.
I need her back on television.
Oh, my gosh. Well, we're going to take a break. And when we come back, we are going to dive in to our Oscar discussion.
Woo.
Hey, do you like what you're listening to? You should check out our blog at www.yougetitgotitgood.com. Or you can always shoot us an email at podcast@yougetitgotitgood.com.
All right, we're back. Oh my gosh, it was all I could do but stuff socks in Kia and Dan's mouth because they were regurgitating all this good content.
She was like being mean to us.
She was really mean.
Because they were like spitting
like
out really
at
great.
A private school.
Look,
and she just yelled at us that we weren't talking enough.
Okay, bring in the next producer, peeps. Next, now serving number 23. Okay, we are going to talk about Child Talent. Okay. Somehow, some way, I know they're going to be involved in these Oscars, okay? Someone's getting nominated. I don't know who.
I want to say that I like the Apatow kids. I think the Atlantic argument is more pointed at them. Well, I think they're just playing themselves.
But
I think you're getting a performance out of Beasts of the Southern Wild.
Let's let our listeners know that there have been a few articles that have dropped in the past few weeks about all this great child talent that's been appearing in various films. And the first article that I came across was in Variety. It was written by Randy Dawn, and it was called Kids Thefts Galvanize Elite Picks. So, you know, she sort of reviewed some of the pictures that are out there that have had this amazing child talent, like Dan just tapped on. This is 40, had the Apatow kids, Maude Apatow. She's been getting a lot of praise for her performance in that film. They talk about Elle Fanning and Ginger and Rosa, Pierce Gagnon, who was in Looper, which I saw today. Oh, my goodness.
That's awesome.
Have you seen that kid's performance, Kia?
No, I haven't seen Looper yet.
Oh my goodness.
I know.
And you know what? I feel bad because Dan did mention Looper in an earlier podcast that we did. And I sort of flipped off the premise. I was like, yeah, this doesn't make sense.
You need to just go into the movie with as little knowledge as possible.
I know, you really do. But I'll have to tell you, this kid, he can't be in that film all but like 5 or 6 years old. And he turns, I mean, I think a lot rested on that kid's performance in that film. If he didn't pull it off, I don't know what that film would have been like. She also talks about Jared Gilman and Kara Hayward, who were in Moonrise Kingdom. That's another two.
I get snooty about those kids.
He gets snooty. Yeah, you're right.
I don't know.
We're also tapping into the other article that came out in The Atlantic by Scott McDonald. The title is, and oh gosh, I'm going to butcher this poor little girl's name. I don't want to. It's Sari Quavenzhané Wallace, but Best Actress Oscar nods are for big kids. So he's saying that he doesn't believe that the young girl, Miss Wallace, who starred in Beasts of the Southern Wild, should be nominated for an Oscar. He doesn't believe that kids should be nominated at all because he doesn't believe when kids are on screen and doing their thing, he doesn't believe they are really acting.
Oh my goodness.
And I think there's an argument to be made there. I do think a lot of writers don't know how to write for kids. Mm-hmm. And so then they end up either casting super precocious kids that are way not realistic, or mm-hmm. they end up just writing these roles where it's just the kid walks in, he's like, "Mom, take me to school."
Right.
And, you know, you're not getting a performance. Mm-hmm. But this year, I think there have been actual kid roles that have had to deliver a range of emotion. Elle Fanning, Pierce Gagnon, Wallace, they all had to do, they had to carry the weight, their share of the weight in these films. And he's completely undermining that in the article.
He totally is. Oh, my goodness.
Well, it's pretty amazing.
You can't just paint with such a broad brush. And there's a reason why, what was the kid's name from Kramer versus Kramer? There's a good reason that he won that Oscar, because he was doing real work there, you know.
Right.
Jodie Foster, Tana McGee, they have all done real work.
Yeah, he didn't win. He lost, but he was nominated.
I thought he was the last one that won.
No, he lost. Remember, he broke into tears when he lost.
He should have. He did a lot of work in that movie.
He did a ton of work. And poor
he
Dustin,
carried that movie.
He did. Poor Dustin Hoffman was like, "Look at my little friend over there crying his eyes out." He's like, "Oh, my gosh." It was horrible. But he deserved that nomination. And I think that a number of these kids really do. I mean, you know, these films that these kids appeared in this year were not easy. You know, Moonrise Kingdom had a tone, it had a vibe that really needed to be met. And it's like not every kid could have done it.
No.
They just couldn't have done it.
No.
Pierce Gagnon and Looper, Kia, you know, this kid, he had to be very intense. He had to turn it on and turn it off like water. And I don't care if he was 6 years old. He pulled it off.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you're talking about a six-year-old who, you know, kids like that, they don't even have life experience yet.
No.
Yeah.
To draw from, you know, to be able to kind of create these characters. And the ability to do that at six is pretty amazing.
I heard her on NPR, and she's nothing like her character in the movie.
Well, that's what I heard another person say, that she's like very upper, she's perky, and, you know, in the movie she's like the serious, you know, sort
that
of little
one scene where you see
Rex.
Her like all dressed up with the pigtails or whatever, is apparently that's closer to what she normally looks like, what she's normally like, is you know, the clean cut kid. And this other kid was a real role, and you know, obviously this Atlantic writer has his head.
Well,
this is what I think that's just an old school mentality, and I think he doesn't have a point of reference.
Well,
because I see kids every day, and trust me, when you finally get in someone who has a great performance and who can deliver, and it's not a coached or a manufactured performance, it's pretty amazing.
Yeah.
Well, listen, this is one of the things he says, and I quote this article by Scott McDonald. He says, "Acting requires some intentionality on the part of the actor, some conscious effort to adopt a persona other than his or her own. Even adult actors who get criticized for, quote, playing themselves are engaged in a series of more or less conscious decisions about how best to be themselves on screen. A young child, meanwhile, likely isn't thinking at all about how to be herself, let alone a character. She's a kid, and she just is. This is of course a big part of what we're responding to when we watch Wallace, her innocence and her lack of self-consciousness. Absolutely. She feels genuine precisely because she's incapable of being otherwise."
Oh my gosh, I'm
this guy's an idiot.
Seriously, because if you saw her on Oprah, she's nothing like.
Yeah. She is not the character that you see in that movie.
No, she is nothing like that. As a matter of fact, when I watched her on Oprah, I was like, "Oh," because I was expecting to see, what's her name in the movie? I forgot her name. It was like a really catchy, what?
Yeah.
I should know this, and I totally forgotten already.
I just went blank when you asked me.
Yeah, so sorry.
But, you know, when you see her, like, you know, in an interview, I'm like, that's not the same little girl. So I know her performance was not just her running around on set pretending, or, you know, or just being a kid.
Yeah,
she wasn't just reading memorized lines.
No.
And anybody who's worked,
think about
anybody who's worked kids casting.
Yeah.
Anybody who's worked kid casting, you know there's a range. There's
absolutely
a complete range of what you can get out of kids.
And yeah.
There's something there. That's not.
Well, it's called having an imagination. I wish Marjorie Ballantyne was on this call with us. I would have liked to hear what she would have had to say as well, but can't hate a kid for using their imagination.
Well, if that's what you're supposed to use, but the problem is by the time you become an adult actor, you no longer use your imagination because you're afraid of it. You're detached from it. Mm-hmm. You no longer have access to it because mm-hmm. we spend all this time trying to be perfect and cross our T's and dot our I's.
For sure.
So that's what, when I teach kids, I teach them so that I'm fostering that. I'm not teaching them to overtrain them. I'm not teaching them to stylize them. I'm teaching to foster everything that they already know to be true.
Mm-hmm.
And to empower them to use that and not be afraid to use that.
Mm-hmm.
So clearly this person, I would love to talk to him.
Well, how many performances have we seen with adults when we're like, that wasn't the truth that I just saw?
Exactly.
On
screen. Exactly.
I mean, we've said because it a thousand times.
Because by then, think about it, when you go out in the real world, you're most likely not who you are at home.
Yeah.
Right. But also, I mean, you look at like Pacino or someone who's like fallen into a character where you're like, you feel like they were cast because they can do that same sort of screamy character.
No, but I agree too. It's just I plan on going to sleep fairly early tonight, but now I'm not because he's got me all riled up.
Well, you know, it's like, it's true. It's like kids can tap into truth. Robert De Niro, I love you to pieces, but I haven't seen truth from you in a long time. I saw Silver Playbook. Oh, my God.
Yep.
I've seen the truth.
Finally remember what you loved about Robert De Niro in that movie.
Thank you.
I love that movie.
Okay.
Oh, my God. I love
it. Oh, that was awesome. And my husband is, like, ridiculously in love with Jennifer Lawrence.
I mean, I've seen the truth. I'm boycotting
the Academy if it does not get nominated.
If he doesn't get nominated, I will be upset. But you know what? I think it's okay for us to say, and I think it's okay for other actors to say about their own performances, I wasn't able to key into this one.
Mm-hmm. Right. And it happens. You know,
it happens, and I remember the days, and maybe it was when I was a kid. I honestly believe I would be watching a talk show, and I would hear an actor criticize and analyze their own performances. You don't hear that today. You know, you don't hear them looking into themselves or the performance that they brought to the stage and saying anything otherwise than it was fabulous. Now, I get it. You've got to sell the tickets. You've got to do whatever. But don't hate on kids because they're able to do what you used to be able to do and can't anymore.
Yeah, let's figure out. I mean, honestly, there's a lot to be learned from these performances.
I would think so because you know what? I didn't cry in terms of endearment until that kid cried by the bed.
Oh, my goodness.
Okay. I tell you what, Tom Holland in Impossible, if you haven't seen that film yet, oh, my God. You are going to be wringing out your T-shirt because this kid is going to make you cry.
Oh, my God.
He's going to make you freaking cry. I mean, this article is just so dismissive. And it also rings very close to that saying that I really hate people using about kids and animals. It's degrading. Yeah. And it makes me angry.
Yeah, they're cute. You like them because they're cute.
They're
or
cute or they're out of
fluffy
control.
And, yeah.
And they don't take direction. And, you know, they're like this animal being that just can't be controlled and needs guidance all the time. It's like,
well, you know, I'm sorry. It's like what Dan was saying. I think you said it offline, Dan. It, you know, it's about also just people knowing how to write for kids.
Right.
Write for kids how to, not everyone can even manage kids on set. It takes a special kind of person to really connect with a kid.
Mm. Well, I think one of the things that a lot of these films that we've tapped on have in common is that a number of these kids are not professional or they haven't done a great deal.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Miss Wallace and Beast, I know she hadn't done anything before that. Pierce, he couldn't have. The kid was like 5 or 6. If he did anything, he wasn't aware of it. You know, I don't know, but, you know, I'm hoping when they read the Oscars tomorrow that just to acknowledge their performances, that they get some supporting actors in there. You know, I will be pleased with that. But Mr. McDonald, sheesh, dude, lighten up.
Oh, I'm with Kia. I'm all worked up now.
Cry a bit. Just, you know, let loose a few tears or something.
I feel like writing a rebuttal.
Yeah.
Somebody already did, actually. A young lady already wrote a rebuttal, and I should have mentioned it, but I didn't. But she did, and I will post that rebuttal on our blog as well, because she totally disagreed with him 100%. And, well, there you have it, folks. Okay, now that we're all riled up, we're going to take a break, and we'll be right back.
Like what you're listening to? Then shoot an email to podcast@yougetitgotitgood.com or leave a comment on our blog at yougetitgotitgood.com.
Want to thank you folks for listening in, and like usual, we welcome your comments and questions. Please follow us on Twitter. We're at @U, get it, got it, good. Like us on Facebook. Please like us on Facebook. I'm pouring everything I have into that Facebook page. We're at facebook.com/yournewhollywood. You get it, got it, good. And subscribe to us on iTunes. You just hop on over there and hit click, and it says, do you want to subscribe? You go, oh, heck yes, I do. And please leave us a comment on there so that iTunes knows we're not playing around. And email us, please. We're at podcast@yougetitgotitgood.com. Okay. Dan, thank you so much for joining.
Always a pleasure.
Kia, good to talk to you.
You too.
Good night, everybody.
Have a good one.
Bye.